Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your covenant of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we come before you with humble hearts and we look to you, Jesus, our high and lifted up, our living King. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for everyone listening in, tuned in today, that these words would be of importance to them. Father, that they would take hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, wherever you are, amen. 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 Well, it's great to be here with you this morning once again. And we want to preach this morning, and as you can see, it's Easter Sunday, but we want to preach this morning because he lives. Because he lives. We made a stand at the beginning of this year when we came together and visioned for the bridge for our church and our family, that this year would be a year of declarations. And so today, I want to make a declaration. And if you, wherever you are, you can join in with me and make the same declaration. And that declaration is, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And so I want to say happy Easter to you all. Probably better still, happy Resurrection Day. And we want to come today, and I just want to look at this story of the resurrection of Jesus from a different angle this morning. This, all the Gospels lead us up to this. And it's April, and as we know, we are still talking about isolations, lockdown, and social distancing. Well, today I want to look at a man in the Bible, an apostle in the Bible, who was also in isolation, lockdown, and probably social distancing. His name was John. John the Apostle was sent to exile to the island of Patmos, where he found himself in this situation of lockdown, in prison. And while there, God spoke to him and said to them, listen to what I'm saying and write this down. And he penned the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today, Resurrection Sunday, we can live in the resurrection. But remember, God will use you wherever you are and whatever situation you find yourself in. And we see that John is writing this testimony that is taking place with him. And he sees this lampstand. He turns around Revelation chapter 1 and he sees this lampstand. And in the middle of it, there's like a son, a man like the Son of Man, it says, with hair white like wool and white like snow. And his eyes flash like fire. And his feet are burnished bronze, and his voice like the roar of many waters, like a thunderous, like Niagara Falls coming over. And in his hand are seven stars, and from his mouth comes a two-edged sword, and his face is shining like the radiance of the full sun and burning in this all its splendor. Can you imagine that with me? This no longer is the babe in Bethlehem. This is no longer a man of sorrows. This is Jesus Christ, Lord Almighty God, the warrior king and all his radiant glory. And so if you'll read with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Could you imagine what I've just described to you? And here John sees this. I would fall at his feet as dead as well. But obviously he wasn't dead because he said, he laid his right hand on me saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Wow. I mean, picture with me, just take yourself in that position. Here Jesus speaking to John, he asserts his eternal existence. I am the first and the last. What are you saying? I am from the beginning and to the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am from Genesis to Revelation. I am from the book of beginnings, Genesis, to the book of Revelation, the book of the final disclosure of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says, and the living one. An emphatic declaration and statement. And what it really means is I am the only living one. Like God, I am living and I never ever change. And we know through scripture, Jesus, I am the past, present, and future. I never change. And then two words, I died. Past tense, I died, past tense. And then he says, and behold. And we're breaking this down a little bit because when we get to a word like behold in scripture, it's not just a fancy way of saying, listen up, guys. This is when they say behold, it means pay attention. Listen, guys, pay careful attention to what I'm about to say next. What is to happen next? And then he says these words, I am alive forevermore. Jesus is alive. That is present future tense. He lives eternally, seated in heaven with the Father. And then he goes on and says, I have the keys to death and Hades. Me, I went there and I took what was rightfully mine. I went and plundered hell and took the keys of death. Means he has the power to release those from death who receive the gift of salvation that he offers. What a message of hope. Jesus is alive because he lives. Today is Resurrection Sunday. We don't have to just talk about resurrection or as a means of tradition or an annual celebration. We can actually live resurrection. We can live the experience of resurrection in your life every day, starting today, if you've never received that. So I want to encourage you. But to understand that, we have to, number one, answer question that is in your, what is in your life that is either dying or is already dead right now? I'm not talking about physical death. What current issues in your life or appear to be dead and dying? And I've just got three for us this morning, but I'm sure you can pick up a few more. So what type of deaths can we face? Number one, emotional death. What emotions of yours are at this moment a little bit frayed, a little bit tensed? What is causing your emotions right now to die? Stress in this current situation, perhaps? Financial burdens that you might experience or going to experience? Some of you are in lockdown or by yourselves. Loneliness? A health crisis looms upon us all? You're not sure right now what's going to take place. Emotionally, things are not going so great. We're under various kinds of pressure. Let me assure you, even living in the family in close quarters can be a pressure on your emotions. I want to tell you this morning, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is alive because he lives. If you're experiencing emotional death or in turmoil right now, just stay tuned and listen. The second kind of death is a relational death. Some of your relationships are strained right now and perhaps not going so well. I want to encourage you this morning. Perhaps a separation or a breakdown in a marriage or children or family that are far from you. Family relationships in close quarters are strained. Dads and moms, kids, brothers, sisters, family. I heard this morning about a family. We wrote to them and said, how are you doing? We said, well, we're stuck in Mauritius. We can't get home. So we're here till May, at least. And so their family's at home and they've been stuck in Mauritius. I know they went on vacation to Mauritius, but someone had to do it. But in a time like this, relationships are strained. Emotions are strained. They want to be home with their kids. Anyway, these are painful when a relational death occurs, often more painful than physical pain. And the third one I want to talk about now is spiritual death. You're breathing and you feel alive, but spiritually you might be drowning or dead. And I want to encourage you, stay connected to the family. You feel completely separated from God. You might have even made some efforts or tried something, but you just feel, I'm just not getting through. Help me, Lord. And God seems so far away. The spiritual death comes because of a number of reasons that led you down this path. And of the three, this is the worst because you are of value to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're of value to your church family. Mm-hmm. You are of value. And why? Because this spiritual death has eternal value. But hold on. There is hope because there is resurrection life for all to experience. Romans 8 verse 11 says this. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, listen, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There is hope in the resurrection life. The very same power that brought Jesus out of the grave and raised him from the dead on that valuable day so many years ago is available to you today. This is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Today it's all about, but we don't have time, so I'm going to ask you, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, go and read that for yourselves. Moms and dads, have a devotional time. Read that together. The same Spirit, that life-giving breath of God, that ruach breath that God breathed into Adam and Eve that was given 2,000 years ago, is available today to bring life to our mortal bodies through his Holy Spirit today. Jesus was resurrected. As he said, I died. Jesus did die. He didn't faint. He didn't just pass out. He died. Past tense. Now he is alive. He was resurrected from the dead. It means that if you take hold of this truth today, if you grasp it, if you understand this today, you too can arise and be given eternal life. Because he lives. Because he lives, your emotions can live again. Because he lives, your relationships can live again. Because he lives, he can breathe new life into you through the power of his Holy Spirit and deliver you from your dead life. His Spirit in you will resurrect you just as Jesus was resurrected. That is an awesome truth for us to declare. The best way for each one of us to celebrate that is to have your very own new resurrection experience today. Now, I'm going to read from John 14, but before I get there, we have to also sometimes look at a little bit of context. In John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples and giving them a heads up. Hey, guys, I want to tell you something that's going to take place. I'm going to return to the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back for you sometime. And so let's just read John 14, 19 out of that context. He says, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you also will live. What a promise. That is awesome. Jesus lives, and because Jesus lives, because he lives, I can live as well for eternity with him on earth and then with him in eternity. This was the night before Jesus was taken out to be crucified. And he's saying, before long, I won't be around much longer. He is preempting a conversation of that there will be a cataclysmic event going to take place, a war in the heavenlies when eternity would be settled once and for all. Because I live, you will also live. A promise and a declaration of the Father. And in there he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He says, I'm going to send you another Parakletos, another Holy Spirit that will come and guide you and lead you into all truth. On Good Friday, we looked at some of the promises of the cross. And now I want to encourage us, because he lives, you don't need to be lonely anymore. Those that are in lockdown, my heart goes out to you. Please hear me this morning. Hear God's promises to you today. He is the kinsman redeemer. He is our Lord and Savior. He sent Holy Spirit to be with us. If we just dial into that, you won't be alone. Your dreams can be resurrected. Your emotions and relationships can be resurrected. If you want this and you can choose today, what a great opportunity for us on Resurrection Sunday. Know this. The second thing is God is always pursuing you. What? Yes, God is always pursuing you. You need to know that. He is always pursuing you. In Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came seeking for us. Jesus often, throughout Scripture in the New Testament, uses parables to reveal that God is pursuing us. Psalm 139:16. Listen to what the psalmist writes. You saw me before I was born. While you were just a twinkle in your daddy's eye, the Lord saw you. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You think God has a purpose and a plan for your life? He has it intricately written out. And then the psalmist writes this, and this is for all of us to say and declare. How precious are your thoughts about me, yes. O God. God is pursuing us. God is thinking about us. There's so many, you might say, well, Mark, there's so many millions of people on this earth. Yep, God is capable. They cannot be numbered. He says, they cannot be numbered. Oh, how wonderful are your thoughts about me, O God. God is looking, pursuing, chasing after you. We may well think, well, God is up there. I'm little me down here. This gap between us is just too big. I know I said the other day, between heaven and earth, if you look at it, the scientists tell us it's 63 billion light years away. Well, how is that possible? Well, because he is God. Because he is omnipotent, he is omniscient, he is omnipresent. He is Almighty God. Well, Jesus, when this took place on Good Friday, Jesus once and for all settled the big issue of this gap theory, this gap, that he closed that gap once and for all and paid the eternal, everlasting price with his death upon the cross and his resurrection, which we are talking about today. He became the once and for all eternal sacrifice for our sins, the Lamb of God that was sacrificed for all of our sins. In 1 John 2:2, it says this, he is the propitiation, big word, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, what does that word propitiation mean? I'm glad you asked. That word means the wrath of God against sin has been appeased. It means that he is not angry with us anymore. Some people still think God is up there waiting for us to mess up so he can beat up on us. I'm telling you, God loves you so much. He is not about to beat up upon you. Meaning, when our sins have been appeased at the cross of Jesus Christ, once and for all, our sins, yesterday, today, and forever, have been appeased, means that we live in the divine favor and the wondrous blessing of Almighty God. When Jesus took all the sin upon himself upon that cross, that's what actually happened, the great transaction. And then he cried, it is finished. Sometimes we have a way of thinking, I chose Jesus. No, he has been pursuing you all of this time. John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. God has been pursuing us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, pursuing us. Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the garden, the first human creation, placed in the garden, given everything, and they messed up royally. You think God said, oh, I don't know what to do with them? No, no. He came looking for them. Adam, where are you? He was pursuing them once again. He didn't throw his hands up and go, oh, I don't know what to do now. Some of us, some of you are afraid and you try to hide from God. Well, let me this morning on this amazing Resurrection Sunday morning, let me give you a hashtag hot tip. You cannot hide from God. He is pursuing you and looking for you. Number three, the reasons God pursues us. Number one is because he wants to rescue you. He wants to rescue us. He loves you and all the mess that you find yourself in. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what my life is like. Nope, I don't. But I do know what my life was like, and I know a whole bunch of other people what their lives are like. But because his plan is to rescue you from yourself and from the circumstances you find yourself in. He sees value in every single one of us. He sees value in you, if I may say so. What people have spoken over your lives, and some told you you might never amount to anything, you might just not be good at anything, you might not. Let me tell you, what people see as junk, Jesus sees as treasure.
Yes.
You are his treasure. We've been called to be a royal priesthood, holy nation. The second thing he wants to do is he wants to restore you. Salvation is immediate, But restoring the value of yourself in you and the confidence in yourself and who you've been called to be is like peeling an onion layer by layer. And often there's tears, but the onion still gets peeled. It's pulling back the layers to bring out the wholeness and the goodness in each one of us. Truth is, we all have issues. There are none without issues, and we all need restoring. And it's a daily thing to be restored. God's plan for you, if you accept His plan, is to live in His beauty, His mercy, His kindness, His goodness. And that is His restoration plan. And then finally, He wants to redeem you. Our amazing Father takes us just as we are. You know, sometimes we go out and if you can't afford to buy the new object, you go to the scratch and dent and you look for a scratch and dent. Well, the Lord wants to take you just as you are in your scratch and dent case, in your scratch and dent situation. Through His Son Jesus, who died on the cross for us and shed His blood and resurrected again to redeem us from our old life, the life that was before I came to know Christ, to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. Something of value and beauty, and to be used for His glory and for us to give fruit in that. Jesus paid it all. He came and put it all on the line in order for us to have it all. Full redemption, full restoration, full rescue, purchased and paid for. That's what redeemed means, that we were purchased and paid for to fully be restored to Him. Psalm 40 verse 2 says, He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Sometimes our lives are like that. We live in a bog. We live where we're in sinking sand, and we can't get any real traction in life. Jesus can change that. Jesus, from Good Friday to now Resurrection Sunday, the completed, finished work of the cross, has rescued us from this pit. He has restored us. He's reconciled us back to the Father. And from death to life to resurrection, He has redeemed us. On this rock of Jesus Christ, we stand. And He says, making my steps secure. We're walking on firm foundation now. On this rock of Jesus we live. Remember we said in John 14, 19, because I live, you also will live. Well, in Romans 6, 4, it helps that. Clarify that a little bit better. It says, we were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. From scratch and dent, to fullness, to wholeness, to complete. When Jesus comes along, I've used this expression before, when Jesus comes along, it's not like we take this old car and put it in and give it a new engine and then it's great. No, no, no. We come out a brand new car, a whole new car, fully a new creation in Christ Jesus. And finally, number four, because He lives, I will also live. He gave us forgiveness and glorified Jesus as the all-sufficient forgiver. Jesus forgives all our sins. He gave us a friend to count on and glorified Jesus as utterly reliable. Jesus is utterly reliable. Others might let you down. Jesus will never, ever let you down. He gave us guidance and unchanging truth, and glorify Jesus as the absolute foundation for truth and righteousness. Wow. He gave us a life that is not pitiable, but enviable. A ministry that is not in vain, but fruitful, and glorify Jesus as the source and goal of all life and all ministry. Truthfully, the only ministry we've ever been given is the ministry of reconciliation, when we were reconciled back to the Father. Lastly, He gave us everlasting joy that will not be ended by death, and glorify Jesus as the author of life, the victor over death, and the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He was the one who went ahead of us and paved the way and paved the way for us to follow Him. So this morning, I want to just remember, I promise you, I'm not going to sing it. But I just remember these words of this old song that I used to sing as a youngster growing up. And this morning I want you to lift your hearts and sing this with me, or say this with me, in conjunction with the choirs of earth and the choirs of heaven. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living because he lives. I just want to encourage you this morning. Because he lives, declare with me again, Jesus is alive. Happy Resurrection Sunday. This is not something that we just celebrate. This is something that we can live in and be together. And I want to encourage you, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. We're going to, 5 minutes from when this shuts down, I want to encourage you as families, get around a device, laptop, iPad, whatever it is. And as a family, one device, because we want to get as many people as we can, get onto our Zoom account, and we're going to do communion together virtually. The elders will lead it, the pastors, they will lead it, and we can together, we'll see each other, connect with each other, and we will break bread, and we will drink the juice together as emblems and remembering Christ's death and his resurrection and the life-giving power of Jesus Christ on this Resurrection Sunday. So, Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the power of the finished work of the cross. Blessed are you among all men. And Father God, we ask this morning, Jesus, we come and we say thank you for your resurrection life. Thank you that Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen.